you would this evening turn with me to the 32nd Psalm. No laughing, Brother Quinnen. Psalm 32. And I say that teasingly, but I want to read verses 8 and 9, and then I want to go back to verse 1 for a moment, and then come back to these two verses. David says, I will instruct thee, speaking as the Lord. Or the Lord says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. So again, the Lord says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. But then he cautions, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. It says a psalm of David, and it also then will have a comma for most Bibles, and I'll probably pronounce the word wrong. It says maskul, which means an instruction. This psalm is very likely David's record of the answer of his prayer from Psalm 51 after his sin with Bathsheba. There in that one, he gives a diary of how he felt when he was asking for forgiveness. It's most likely that this psalm David wrote after he felt the restoration of the joy of the Lord's salvation in his life. And notice how he begins. He says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. David here in the opening gives us three ways to describe sin and three ways to describe God's forgiveness. He says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and blessed is the Lord, the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. So we have transgression, sin, iniquity. They're all sin, but there's a different definition for each. Transgression means going too far. When I trespass, I've gone too far. Sin is falling short. Iniquity is being out of the way, crooked, or perverse. So here David says, blessed is the individual who went too far, who fell too short, and went out of the way. Now, how is that person blessed? He says, because they're forgiven, their sin is covered, and the Lord, he does not impute iniquity. He doesn't impute. So the term forgiven means to have a load removed, a burden lifted. The word covered there indicates the shedding of blood. And then the word impute means will not give to one's account. In other words, God, and when he makes a reckoning, when he looks at you and I, on our ledger sheet, if you will, there's no debt due to the Lord regarding our sin. So here David describes sin in three ways, but also the forgiveness of God in three ways. That's just a quick side point that I noticed this evening in reading Psalm 32. So David again says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Verse 9 struck me as I was doing my Bible reading a few days ago here in the Psalms. He says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. We were looking on Sunday nights at some of the different animals in the Word of God, and I don't know that we'll continue that, but tonight's message kind of ties in. Here, we're commanded not to be as the horse or as the mule. One evening this week, I don't remember what evening it was now, we went over with the girls, and they had their first horse riding lesson. I stood back. I don't like horses myself. Don't want to get on one. As I told one of the ladies there, she asked if I was in. I said, no. I said, if I lived back in days before automobiles, I'd ride a horse. But thank God automobiles have been invented. I don't need to ride a horse. So, but as I watched those animals, obviously they've been trained. But here, what God is describing is not like the horses that our daughter rode the other night. I wish Sister Sharon was here, because I teased her today if she was going to ride this next week with the girls, and she told me in the handshake she would if I would, and I'm about ready to take her up on that. But anyway, just to see Sister Sharon on a horse. She knows I won't do it. Anyway, that's not the imagery, though, that the Lord is painting here of a tame horse that has been ridden, that even a child can ride. Imagine, if you will, the wild Mustangs of the West that no man has ever captured, that no man has ever put a bit or bridle upon them, that's never been saddled, that's never been ridden. That's the kind of beast that the Lord here is talking about. Now, I will admit that a horse is a beautiful creature. I think they're beautiful animals, and I like to see them from a bit of a distance. I just don't need to see them up close and personal, but they are beautiful. But in the wild, it is their nature to be wild. They have to be tamed in order. A horse is not born into this world already tame and ready to be ridden and to be directed by man. That's why, as we looked a few weeks ago about the young ass's colt, that it is our nature we're born with the nature to rebel against the Lord. So here he commands us not to be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. We find in Isaiah's writings, in Isaiah chapter 1, in the very opening verses of his prophecy, he begins this way. He says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse, where am I at? I'm in the book of Ecclesiastes. No one, I mean, I can't find it. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, he says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me." Then he says, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Notice what the Lord says to Israel. He says, "I have nourished and I have brought up." That means I have taken care. I have fed. I have clothed. I have guided. I have delivered. I have protected. I have helped. I have saved. I have redeemed. I have watched over. I have cared for. Just imagine all the adjectives you can that describe what God has done for this people. And notice what he says. And you and I can get in this same place if we're not careful. He says, "The ox knoweth his owner." He says, "And the ass his master." What does that mean? The ox knows where to go. And so does the ass in time of hunger, in time of drought, in time of need. He says, "But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider." Here they are, a sinful nation turned away from the Lord. He says, even the ox and the ass know where it is to go to find the help and the deliverance and the leadership and the caretaking that they need. So in that verse, he says, in that case, animals are smarter than my own people. But here where we started, he says, we're not to be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. In Proverbs, the 26th chapter, we find that Solomon says this. He says, "A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back." So he just laid out, I've watched people whip a horse to get it to go. I've seen an ass with a bridle. And I've also felt the rod of God's correction when I was a fool. And so he's just letting us know that just like a master will whip the horse and bridle the ass, there's also a rod that belongs in the hand of God that will be applied to the back of a fool. He just likened us to the ox, to the ass, and also to the horse, and tells us to be cautious and careful about how it is that we live our lives. Turning with me briefly to the book of James. In the book of James, we find that he writes in the 3rd chapter, beginning in the very first verse, regarding how it is that we're to live. First of all, he says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. What James means simply is, if you do not have the gift to be a teacher in the house of God, do not strive for that gift. He says, because that individual will receive the greater condemnation. Any individual receives the greater condemnation that would lead God's people astray. And an individual that is not called of God for that office is even more likely to lead someone astray than one whom God has called. Now, that doesn't mean that a called man can't go astray. He certainly can. But he says, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. All of us are going to be offenders at time. He said, if any man offend, though not in word, the same as a perfect, that means a mature or a complete man, and able also to bridle the whole body. So he says, be cautious. If you're not called of God to be a teacher, then don't seek that. He says, because we're all going to offend, but it's especially going to happen in word if we're not called of God for this purpose. And then he says, but the person who is able to not offend in word. In other words, he's able to preach the gospel in a way that appeals to the mind and the heart of, and I'm talking about the inner man, not the appealing to the flesh of man, but appeal to the inner man. Even in the best of times, I'm going to offend your nature, your carnal nature, and I'm not going to apologize for that. Because if your carnal nature is offended by the word of God, it needs to be. And so I'll not apologize for that. Now, if I offend you in the depths of your heart because I'm not kind in the things that I say or do as your gospel minister, then by all means come and speak to me about it. But anyway, he says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. He says, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, he says, the tongue is a little member. But notice he says, boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. So here James tells us to be very cautious in the things that we say. Well, to do that, we can't be as the horse or as the mule. We have to be mindful. We have to be intentional. And we have to be careful. How do we do that? He just said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Let's look just briefly at the first portion. He said, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. The Lord Jesus Christ said in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And then he says, and I will give you rest. He says, then take my yoke upon you, and learn of me. Then he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Again, God says, I will instruct thee, and I will lead thee in the way which thou shalt go. Well, how is it that he's going to instruct me? How is he going to instruct you? How is he going to lead you? Well, first of all, it requires you and I to come unto him. You and I have to be willing to submit ourselves, humble ourselves, and be willful to be taught of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. And then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you. In other words, get ready. If you come to me for rest, I'll give you the rest that you need in your soul. But there's also going to be a labor that's required of you if you're going to be a disciple and follower of me. He says, you're going to take my yoke upon you. He says, and learn of me. So how do we learn of him? Well, first of all, we come to him. We find rest in him. Then we began to learn from the Lord Jesus Christ by reading his word and coming to the house of God to hear a man of God, hopefully by the Spirit of God, speak to us from the Word of God. And so again, he says, I will instruct thee, I will lead thee in the way which thou shalt go, I will guide thee with mine eye. That last one's an interesting phrase. I'll guide thee with mine eye. That means his eye will always be upon us. But also, there's a lot of communication that can happen with the eye. I can give my children a look and not say a word. And they do something wrong, and just one look across the room, and sometimes that's all it takes, and they straighten up. I can also give them a look, and in the look they can see my love. They can see my approval. There's a lot of communication just through the look. But, you know, Lydia tells me I can't really hide what I'm thinking. She knows me well enough, and y'all do as well, that I'm sure it's true. If I'm thinking it, my face is showing it. But if we can communicate with one another just with the eye, thank God the eye of the Lord is upon us. He said, I will lead thee and instruct thee in the way that thou should go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I love what Solomon said to his son in Proverbs 3. He told us to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and what he shall direct our paths. He'll direct our steps. He'll direct our life. But what's the requirement of us? To trust in the Lord with all our heart and to lean not on our own understanding. His ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. But thankfully, here are recorded the ways of God and also the thoughts of God. And so if I am to learn his ways and thoughts, I must read his word. And in so doing, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, but I'm going to lean on the ways and the thoughts of God when I lean upon the word of God. So again, he says, we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart. I'm to trust that when I need his direction, his guidance, his leadership, his help to lead me in a plain path because of my enemies, I just have to go to the word of God and trust that when the need is there, he'll direct me in the word of God to that which is necessary. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I should not sin against thee. Number one, just commit as much of it as you can to memory, and in the situation that you find yourself in, the word of God will well up and rise to your mind into the occasion. Okay? But there have been many times when I'm struggling with things of this world that I just simply start opening the word of God and reading through the word of God, and before long, I will happen upon a verse that will be just for my situation in that moment. And what have I done? I've trusted in the Lord, and I've trusted in his word, and leaned not to my own understanding. And what just happened? He directed my paths. He directed my steps. So again, he says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. But that requires that we're not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. We have understanding. It's just vital that we exercise it. And where we lack it, that's our fault. Because that means we haven't been committing our minds and our time to the Word of God. Now then, you may know a lot of the Word of God. And I know people that can quote a lot of the Word of God, but yet as I watch their lives, they make a bunch of dumb decisions. You know why? Because they lack wisdom. Knowledge is one thing, and we need to know the Word of God, but then there's something that needs to follow, wisdom. That's applying the knowledge that we have. And James also addresses that. If any man lack wisdom, we need understanding. You're going to get that by reading the Word of God. Now, how do I put the understanding of God's Word into practice? By asking him for wisdom. And he said, he giveth to all men liberally. He upbraideth not. He's never going to get aggravated with you for asking him for wisdom. He said, he giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So it's just incumbent upon you and I to daily spend time in his Word so that we know his ways and we know his thoughts, that we be not as the horses and mule that have no understanding, That we control the things that we say, that we're careful about the things that we do, that we seek His God, that we come unto the Lord Jesus Christ, not only for rest, but also that we might learn of Him, and then we engage in the things of God in a way that please the One who's done such great things for us. The things we talked about this morning are glorious thoughts, at least in my mind. And I'm so grateful to know the eternal truths of our security and safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we also then have to flip the coin and understand that the same One that was so gracious and merciful and showed His loving kindness to us now has expected of us obedience to His commands, to His word, and to follow Him and to learn of Him and take up His yoke and spend our lives in service to Him. But then He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I promise you that any burden that the Lord lays upon you will be a lot easier to bear than the burdens that this world will put upon you. You may say, well, I don't know, right now it's really hard. Well, I tell you what, keep doing what the Lord says, because the alternative is going to be a lot harder. It may not be in the short run, but in the long run, it will definitely be harder. Why? Because the Lord will not be with you in that burden, but in His burden, He'll always be with you. Again, He said, I will lead thee, I will instruct thee in the way that thou should go, I will guide thee with mine eye. So you and I need to come to His word for understanding, for direction, for instruction, for guidance for our lives. And I promise you, if you will do that, He will do exactly as He said. He will lead thee, and He will instruct you in the way which you're to go. May God bless you tonight is our prayer.